Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The manager of the Chicago White Sox, Ricky Renteria, nice enough to take some time out on a Saturday morning to join us on Inside the Clubhouse. Good morning, Ricky. How are you?
Morning, Ricky.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. First of all, just getting to Chicago for you and your family and setting up, what type of physical and mental aspects did that take for you just to leave California, come here, and navigate what we've been going through as far as the pandemic and being cautious goes?
Well, I think everybody's been doing everything they can to follow whatever protocol is necessary to keep us, to mitigate, you know, infection. Actually, I've been in Arizona since spring training. So we got here maybe 10 days ago. And we've been just trying to follow every bit of advice that has been presented to us, you know, being able to get to the training camp at Camelback. You know, there have been some guys that stayed back that were still there, and, you know, they had staggered times that they were trying to take advantage of still being able to use the facilities there. We had a lot of rehab going on, and so I think everybody's just kind of been inching toward and trying to understand all the things that we're going to need to do in order to, you know, minimize the chances of infection and trying to get everything going in the right direction.
Ricky, how are you viewing this? Is it a matter of you get back together and you're going to pick up where you left off, or do you hit reset again and start to look for signs and cues and things that you would ordinarily look for on the first day of spring training when pitchers and catchers typically report in February?
Well, I'm very hopeful. You know, that there's a lot of guys have still been trying to keep themselves active. You know, we've had a lot of monitoring going on, even though guys have been home and trying to get their work in. It's a little unique, but unlike getting ready to come into camp, I think most of these guys understood that they had to try to keep a particular type of pace that was still being monitored and specific with the pitching so that they could come in once we did hopefully restart, that they wouldn't be at ground zero. So the reality is we won't really know how everybody's actually doing until we put our eyes on everyone here in Chicago. We're very hopeful that everybody, I believe, has been trying to keep their bodies moving and doing everything that they needed to in order to, you know, kind of transition into the next phase of this, you know, hopefully this opening season. I think that we covered a lot of different things this spring, and we covered a lot of different things over the last couple of years, and we've been trying to transition into a very positive mode of moving forward and hopefully being able to truly start to put ourselves in a competitive area of being able to do what we want to do across the board against the teams we're going to play.
Ricky, you know, looking at this three-week, you know, marathon to the sprint or sprint to the marathon that's going to take place, it's definitely not going to be like spring training because of the fact that you're not going to be really playing other teams. You might have inter-squad games, but the real competitiveness of watching, for instance, at Nick Madrigal trying to prove to you that he's ready to win that job or not, and the fact that there's nowhere for the Nick Madrigals to go except to a taxi squad. There's a lot of moving parts as far as how you make up your squad now, isn't it?
Well, I think that every single one of these guys is going to come in. It's going to be obviously a different environment. When you're out there training, all these guys get to a point, I believe, that you're self-driven. There's a part of you, you're always competing a little bit against yourself to reach the heights that you believe you can to play the game, to do things that you think you can do. And I think that as we're coming together, obviously it's a unique situation. There are going to be a lot of things going on. There are a lot of things that we have to be very mindful of. And I'm hoping that, you know, having started to understand all of these men that we have, they're very self-motivated. They're driven. They seek to excel. I'm hoping that that mindset that they have will make it a little easier for us as a coaching staff to be able to manage what we'd like for them to do. It's going to be unique as well, as we're not playing in front of fans, but you're still wanting to compete and have an edge. I do believe that players being self-motivated, you know, the fan experience is a huge part of who we are. But when they're down there in between the lines, it's really more of a focus factor. And you're in and of yourself down there. So hopefully these guys are going to still be able to come in and show us what they're capable of doing. Obviously, it's a shorter span of time that we have now to draw closer to putting our rosters together and start the season. But I think they're all going to do what they can. I've seen a lot of them, a few of them actually, in Arizona while I was still there, and they're working diligently and trying to do everything they can to put themselves in good place. So we'll continue to evaluate and see where we sit once we're done with this preparation time to start the season.
We are joined by White Sox manager Ricky Renteria here on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. Bruce Levine and I'm David Haw. And Ricky, when you look at the 60-game schedule, it's 37% of the typical 162-game schedule. From a manager standpoint, where's the line then become between wanting to be patient, the way that we always hear managers in baseball want to be patient with guys who may be struggling, and showing the kind of urgency that's now going to be necessary in a shortened season?
Well, I think all of us, first of all, we have to see where everybody is truly at, and specific with the pitching, where everybody sits. You know, how much can we stretch them out through these next 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, and then that'll determine obviously some of the limitations that we will have to obviously place on ourselves in terms of allowing guys to be extended. Is it a short outing? We need to win as many games as possible. It's every game matters. I think that at the end of the day, this has changed a lot of the dynamics of what's going on. We certainly don't want to hurt anybody, but we want to put ourselves in a position to be able to compete and win as many ball games as possible. I think there's a fine line. You draw a fine line as to, you know, what you're going to do or not do. And I think that at the end of the day, all of our players, and we're not unique to this thinking, all of our players know that ultimately it's about trying to have success as a club, as a team, and everybody's going to do and understand and accept, you know, certain modifications that might have to be made or some decisions that are made a little sooner maybe rather than later, if you're trying to help your club put yourself in a winning position. And so I'm expecting that these guys are going to be fine, and we'll deal with crossing those bridges in terms of timing and what kind of moves you make, and do you hang on more, or do you allow them opportunities to continue to do things to give them an opportunity to learn more. But I think they all understand where we're at. It's certainly a different time right now.
You know, it's always fascinating, Ricky, because we talked to you so much over the last few months about player development, and now going into winning mode, and player development certainly still having to be there. Lucas Giolito talked about how player development will always be a part of his life, no matter whether he's a second-year player or a 10-year player. But when you have the uniqueness of this year and you have a guy like Michael Kopech who can either be your opener, your closer, your middle guy, your starter, and because of the uniqueness of the season and the kind of experimental part of it initially, he might be a heck of a weapon for you to have coming out on July the 23rd or 24th.
Oh, certainly. I think that we still want to fit these guys in the types of roles that they have. I think that as an organization, we will consider all facets, you know, maybe having guys piggyback each other, certainly having picking the right guy to possibly be an opener, things of that nature. I think that all things being equal, the time, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, the time that we've been down have allowed guys to continue to heal and to rehab. And now, you know, they're going to be in a position where they might, you know, put themselves here with us now and help us. I mean, there are certainly been some things that we could have taken advantage of, obviously playing from the get-go, but that was not meant to be. Right now, we'll try to be as creative as possible without hurting anyone. I think there are a lot of well-thought-out ideas and plans that guys have that we might be able to incorporate to take advantage of the situation that we have in terms of some of the pitching that we have that's available to us. We're truly in the organization stands in a tremendously great place, and it was put there, obviously, by Rick in the front office and Jerry's ability to allow us now to continue to develop and put these guys where they need to be, and so We'll try to take advantage of it to the best of our ability and do all things with it.
Best case scenario, Ricky, what role does Carlos Rodon play on your pitching staff?
Well, gosh, I mean, he's been down a little while. I mean, for me, Los is unique in that I think he's capable of starting, relieving. He can do any number of things. I think that the most important thing for all of us, and this is – just me thinking long term for these guys is to make sure that they're truly healthy and able to perform. And we'll figure out where we need to go. I mean, it is a short season, as everybody knows. But I think a well thought out understanding of what we need in a particular moment. I think moments now are going to be probably more important than thinking, you know, 2, 3, or 4 weeks down the road. I think now it's going to be, you know, tomorrow and the next day, you know, what can we actually do here in a particular situation with a particular guy? I think it's going to put us in a place to be, again, creative, try to take advantage of the things that these guys are going to be capable of doing and make sure that we're doing it while they're truly capable of doing it without putting them in harm's way.
So, Ricky, the craziest thing I've heard in a long time is maybe some people at MLB sitting around with nothing to do in the offseason come up with the idea of putting a man at second base to start an inning after teams have fought their butts off for 9 innings and have a tie game to conclude a game. Many people do not agree with my opinion and think that it's an interesting aspect and it'll be entertaining. I find it totally alien to what baseball is all about. What's your opinion on that?
Well, listen, I get, I don't want to be the, you know, I try to stay out of trouble, but, you know, I've always thought, what was the purpose? What was the reasoning behind? And if we all think about it, the reasoning behind putting a runner at second base is to try to expedite the conclusion of a ball game. Well, and to minimize, the thought was also because it would potentially minimize the use of pitchers. You know, you can use pitchers in extended form, and so there's a thought that a major league club, you know, with a runner on second base has a greater chance in later innings to try to conclude the game. But what happens? So I start thinking through it, and I go, okay, if that's the purpose, the only way you can actually, you know, try to minimize having to be able to use a lot of relief corps, a lot of pitchers and what have you, you have to put a finality to the game. There's an assumption that when you put a runner on second base with nobody out, that there's going to be a finality sooner rather than later. And there's many ways you can do it, tactically speaking, strategically speaking. But what happens if it doesn't? Now you go still 11. You know, the idea of it is 10th inning, 11th inning. Okay, now you go to 12th and 13th, and everybody's going, okay, what's going on here? You know, in the 15th, 16th, and you're still starting with the runner on second base. I get the idea of it. I truly do. And yeah, it could be exciting. May change the way people, you know, the homer may not be the biggest thing you want all of a sudden in the 10th inning. All of a sudden, little ball maybe comes into play a little bit more. But for me, if you really want to minimize the potential usage of your relief corps and putting guys out for a while, play a finite game. If you play 11 innings and it's still tied, you use other forms of a point system to graduate to give an advantage to a particular club in a tie game after 11. That way you're assured that you're not going to use or blow through your bullpen. The assumption is, though, that and it very well play itself out. The assumption is that we run on second base to start an extra inning ball game, that sooner rather than later, and hopefully more sooner than later, you'll be able to finish a ball game and you'll have a winner and a loser, and minimize the use of a bullpen. Those are my thoughts. I mean, it's unique. And I get it. Everybody, that's the whole point, I guess. I guess the whole point is if we use it now, we'll determine whether the games do truly end in the 10th and the 11th because we've given a club an opportunity to be able to put themselves in a position to potentially score a run sooner rather than later. And that way, you know, minimize bullpen usage. I hope that makes sense.
It does,
yeah, I think
sense.
Next they're going to be telling the hitter to call what field he hits to, and if he doesn't hit it to right or center, he's out. So you know, dramatic changes in the game. Go ahead, David.
Bruce
I'm done
grumpy,
ranting.
Ricky.
I'm done ranting. Yeah.
So, Ricky, as we look at some of these extra inning situations, or we look at moments that you referred to, we look at kind of key spots down in the pennant race. I think, when organizational depth is such a strength of the White Sox, could you envision being a veteran manager as you are, thrusting a guy you just drafted, like Garrett Crochet, into a high-leverage situation? Or maybe it's Andrew Vaughn, who's making his major league debut in the midst of a pennant race. How reluctant would you be? Or is that just one of these realities that you might have to embrace as well, because those guys might be in a position to help you in those specific moments?
That the latter. I think that you never say never. I mean, at some point in time, the thinking about when you mentioned Lucas said you're always developing. The thinking behind using guys in certain situations is to allow them an opportunity. First of all, because you trust their skill. Secondly, the emotion of it is something that players always have to grapple, to be able to control, to be able to slow things down and have a situation in which they give themselves the best chance for success. You know, I think there's a false thinking that there's a guarantee that if you do something with a particular player that, you know, it's going to happen. Now, you think in likelihoods, I guess in percentages or what have you. You got a guy that's had experience for an extended period of time, has probably lived through those types of moments. But then you're going to have guys that have to have that experience as well, and they're thrust into a particular position. You never know. They may come through. The reality is that the skill set is there, and the expectation, and anybody's thinking when you're managing, the expectation is not that somebody's going to fail in the opportunity that they're being granted. The expectation is that they're going to have success, because truly, if you manage – always worried about failure, you shouldn't be managing. The reality is you have to trust the players that you have. And at the end of the day, we're all going to be judged by what we do or don't do, or the decisions we make or don't make. I'm just a baseball guy, and I know the advantages that are given to players and the opportunities that are presented to them that will continue to allow them to grow. And by the way, if they do happen to have success, how much of a buildup is that for them as well? So
right. You
always, your expectation on players is that they're going to have success, not that they're going to fail. And, you know, and all of us, you know, that have been around it a long time, and a manager uniquely has to make a decision. And when he makes that decision, He'll have to answer for the success or failure. And that's a part of the game as well. I think that every moment is unique. Every player is unique. An understanding of who you have is unique. I think that, again, hopefully, the expectation, you know, I know that people don't like the word hope, but the expectation is that you're giving yourself the best opportunity for a player to do what he's supposed to do when you choose him and put him in a position to hopefully have success.
Ricky, David and I appreciate your time. When I see you next week, Friday or Saturday, you'll be able to pick me out. We can't go on the field or in the clubhouse anymore. So I'll be the one wearing the mask, okay? So you'll be able to pick me out in the press box as we look down on you. Thanks again for taking some time out.
You're welcome.
Of luck to you going forward, and have a great day. Thanks again.
Thanks, Ricky.
Thank you, guys. Okay.
Take care. Ricky Bye-bye. Renteria, the White Sox manager, and Bruce, what a great answer to that question. The expectation of success over failure is the way that every manager, in his eyes, has to look at it as optimistically as possible, and that was the best way to answer that question. So it doesn't sound like he would have many reservations about turning to an inexperienced guy in a high leverage situation.
Well, he's for the first time in 4 years, he's uniquely in a position to try to win, and it's going to be fun watching Ricky manage that way now rather than the player development part of just getting the guys some seasoning and getting them used to competing in the major leagues. So totally different demographic going their way, totally different mindset dealing with trying to win this year for the Chicago White Sox.
He's Bruce Levine. I'm David Haw. This is Inside the Clubhouse, and this hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS-4-KIDS. We have a lot more to go until 11 o'clock. You're listening to Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.